This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Dodgers signed Blake Snell. 5 years. No opt-outs as well in that deal. That's a little bit of a different turn from what we've seen in a lot of these contracts recently. But this is, probably the last major stop in his career. So, I don't know. Is Blake Snell on the way to the Hall of Fame? Two-time Cy Young Award winner.
Not yet.
Not sure that he's going to have he was a Ray for a while and then a Padre for a good significant portion of his career winning a Cy Young. And now whatever he does with the Dodgers, he's going to have three true teams. Like one of those guys that doesn't have an obvious cap if he goes into the Hall of Fame.
I don't care about his Hall of Fame decisions. I want to talk about why this is bad for baseball, why this is good for baseball, what your thoughts are on that. I know that you feel this morning when you wake up, you go, here we go again. And, it's hard because we obviously cover the Padres. And the Padres have spent money. The Padres do spend money, yes? So it's tough to look at our team specifically and be like, you know how I feel. It's great, spend more. Go get better players.
There's plenty of other fan bases around the league who say the Padres are bad for baseball.
That's exactly right. And plenty of national writers and everything else.
Correct.
I mean, it was a huge deal when Peter Seidler decided to come out and spend a lot of money. A massive, massive deal.
We've got callers on the line. If you've got some thoughts, you can join us. 833-288-0973. I do want to read this tweet from our friend Emily Nyman.
Love her.
Summed it up pretty well. She said, it's funny watching people get mad at teams who keep the bleeping lights on in this league because they have great staff, process, and use of resources. MLB, quote, taking action to favor J-off organizations that trade away or waste all 6 years of control they have over elite players isn't better for the sport. Teams have 6 years of control over players they draft. They should also get elite players for cheap on free agency. Get real. A minuscule percentage of players reach free agency and are good enough to get huge contracts, and only a few teams take the risk of signing those contracts. Grow up.
Boy, and it is a risk. I mean, it is absolutely a risk. Frankie, you're a Met fan. You know, I grew up a Yankee fan. Benny, you grew up a Padre fan. This new era of Padres baseball spending money, it is a massive, massive risk. We have made poor signings here in San Diego. We
have
made 100%.
The difference is
you can absorb it.
It does not come back to haunt the Dodgers.
Nope.
It does come back to haunt most other organizations.
Correct.
When they make even one or two bad free agent signings.
And again, it's not because, their fan base is so robust and they fill the stadium. We do that here. We do it here. We buy merch. My wife alone could buy a free agent with what she spends in merch for that team. Okay? It's the plus 350. And it's the fact, too, that somehow, some way, you were able to convince a $700 million player to play for pennies on the dollar for 10 years. And again, Shohei's reasoning for this was, I want you guys to be able to add more pieces. Here you go. There you go. There's one right there in Blake Snell. The Shohei Ohtani effect is great. And that's what it did. It allowed them to go out and get Blake Snell. So that voodoo magic, I don't know. I don't know. Who's the next guy that's going to come along and be like, you know what? I don't need it now. I'm good. I'll make my money and endorse. I mean, it's a very savvy decision
by Freeman. I do think baseball could fix the deferred element of salaries.
Somebody said in the chat, too, because a lot of, the Padres have deferred money. A lot of teams do. Do you look at backloaded contracts as the same thing as deferred money? Isn't it?
They essentially are. It essentially is. It's just a matter of timing. Like, are you deferring it during the course of the contract or after the contract is already over?
I do feel, again, I mean, there's tax implications and things that go along. It's smart. It's creative. That's what a GM needs to be.
The Dodgers don't ever have to worry about, in 15 years, you know, are we going to have enough money to pay
these
deferred salaries? They don't have to worry about it. Other organizations are going to think twice, three times before they commit that kind of money to very future years that they can't even project that far out. They've got no idea if they're going to be on solid financial footing compared to the rest of the league.
Yeah.
I want to get some of these phone calls. 833-288-0973. Charlie called in first up in Ramona. Charlie, good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good, buddy. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I am a little mad that I woke up to the news of Blake Snell.
Yep.
And I completely agree with you guys. I think it's absolutely not fair, and I think it's bad for baseball to have these monopolies that can basically sign anyone they want with no consequence, while the rest of the league is bottom feeders essentially waiting for the whale carcass to sink. I don't know how we'd go about handling it, but I mean a salary cap would be great. But how about revenue sharing? The NFL does it.
Well, they do it.
There is some revenue sharing in baseball.
I'm not going to go on that.
Well, they do it. But here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the issue, man. And it sucks because, like I said, we are a team that actually spends money, puts money onto the field in good players. We trade for good players, et cetera, et cetera. So not that the Padres do everything right. They certainly don't. But you have teams that are getting revenue sharing checks and going, great, thanks, like a bonus. Just put it right in my bank and start collecting interest on it. That's what really needs to be fixed. The other owners in baseball need to be held accountable, and they need to be held to the standard of, I'm going to make money, but I'm going to spend money as well.
I do hope that, and we talked about it earlier this week with the potential future national TV deals, that they go more to a model where TV money is split a little more evenly among the teams. And the teams that do well, like pack their ballpark and sell tons of merch, they get to keep more of that money. The Dodgers will still keep a ton of money. They have a lot of fans. They sell a lot of merch as well. Saw a few blue hats when I was up there in Los Angeles, during the playoffs. So they sell merch as well. So they'll do fine. It's just that there's nothing the Padres, they could be the smartest organization in the world. They're never going to get a $350 million TV contract per year.
Correct.
It's just not going to happen. There's no way you can smart yourself into an even playing field with the Dodgers when you're letting them start out that far ahead of everybody else financially because of their TV deal. I think that's, to me, the one thing that needs to be fixed. And whether it doesn't have to be a salary cap or, in terms of that, but there has to be more sharing of the TV revenue money among the teams. And then, because if I'm a big market team, I don't simply want the Pittsburgh Pirates to pocket that money. They also have to be forced to then spend it on their players.
Well, Johnny says in the chat, man, this is what's unfair. He says, the Padres can compete if we defer money too, but we won't. So here's the problem, Johnny. Let's say that the Padres wanted to go out today and they convinced Corbin Burns, Juan Soto, who else is hot out there that you'd like on your team? Pick one. Anybody. Max Fried. Those three guys.
Willie Adames.
And you bring them in. We don't need them.
We don't.
So you bring those three guys in. You sit them in a room. You guys are the future of Padres baseball. Will you all take deferred money? They go, hell yeah, we'll take deferred money. I want $150 million, and I want it in 2030. And then Burns says, yeah, give me $220, but I'll take $200 of it in 2033. Major League Baseball, that day, walks in and says, absolutely not.
Yes.
There's no effing way you guys are going to do this, right? There's no way.
We don't think that is financially responsible of you to do that.
You will not be a franchise in 2030 if you do this. You're going to have to sell the team. You're going to have to fold the team. That's the inherent problem in baseball. I guess, every team can't have a Guggenheim that owns them with a market cap of what they have. So you have to figure out how to work within the constraints that you have. And it's unfortunate, certainly, but it is what it is. There's really no way to change it.
One thing I'm not going to do, and in response to this signing, and Chris in our YouTube chat says, this feels like when Kevin Brown signed with the Dodgers in 1999. Kevin Brown, it didn't work out well for the Dodgers. That contract was a pretty bad deal for the Dodgers. I'm not going to cheer against Blake Snell. I mean, yeah, I don't want him to do well when he's playing the Padres, but I don't wish ill on Blake Snell.
Bro, after what?
He made a good decision for himself.
No question.
And his family here. Yep. I have no ill will toward Blake Snell.
I want him torched when we play him.
Of course.
I don't want Mudd and Don to interview him. That is something I will get on record.
I also agree with that.
Let's not go.
Blake Snell's not a bad person.
No.
Because he signed with the Dodgers. There's nothing about that makes me not like Blake Snell any less than I liked him before. I still like Blake Snell as a person.
Yep.
He absolutely made a very smart career decision by signing a huge deal with a good organization.
Yep.
That's all he did yesterday.
Yep.
Let's take some more calls.
Yeah,
we can always push back, take on Woods. We got a bunch of calls on the line. Let's go to Jake. You're next up here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jake.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're okay.
Hanging in. I mean, we're happy for the content. It's not the content we wanted to be talking about, but we got it.
Yeah, no, I saw that last night, and I texted my buddy's group chat, who's like the biggest Dodgers fan. I was like, there's no way they got another guy like this on that type of contract.
Wait, you're going to have that chat at least two more times this offseason.
At least two more times this offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it, but
no.
I was calling because I first agree with you, Woodsy, what you were saying earlier about, like, they need to do something, but just not sure what it is. But I was going to mostly look on, like, I believe it was Dennis Lynn
mm-hmm.
that said that the Padres are already over their luxury tax. Was that him?
Either they're very close or just over, just under it. You know, it just depends. You know, they don't calculate next year's luxury tax until the end of the season. But if they sign everybody to what they kind of expect them to be worth in arbitration, then yes, they are already pushing that number for 2025.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, if they're already close to that or maybe already over that, then why not, like, already go over and spend more to go get guys, like, instead of maybe trying to trade away guys to lower it? Like, if they're already close to it or over it, why not keep spending and go get more guys to go have another run in the playoffs like we did, but this time, you know, go and win it?
That's exactly right. And listen, that's the Woods method of running a team. I would never profit off of my baseball team, ever. I would be the Steve Cohen type, right? But you're talking about our whole country runs in a deficit at all times. At all times. It can be done. You need to be creative. You've got to figure it out. But they can go over. They reset it. For this reason.
They did.
And the penalties are not huge. Dodgers' penalties are going to be massive this year, but again, they don't care. They can absorb it.
The worst thing you can do, and this comes just from a pure logical standpoint, is go over by like $3 or $4 million.
Yeah, if you're going to go. Bro, it's like staying out late past curfew when you're a kid. My curfew was 11. If I came home at 11:15, I got my ass chewed. I'm coming home at 2. If it's 11:15... And I'm like, well, I'm already in trouble. Well, I'm going to stay out and see what else I can get into. If you're going to do it, right?
And there is an argument for doing it. We talked about that last week. The argument for spending a little more money, you know, making sure that you're in the playoffs. Now, I just said, and I'll stand by it, don't try to chase down the Dodgers.
No,
and,
do you not. Know, That's a
fool's errand. But make sure you make it to the playoffs.
100%.
And if that requires going into the luxury tax to make sure you do that, you know, another bad strategy, I just said, a bad strategy is going over by $4 million. Another bad strategy is going under by $1
million, right,
but not making the playoffs.
Correct.
That doesn't help you either, because you've just spent a ton of money and you didn't get anything for it.
It will never cease to amaze me how many fans out there root for their favorite team's bottom line. Oh, God, we saved so much money this offseason. It will never, never cease to amaze me.
Adam Klug comes in at least twice a month and goes, well, if you could attach a prospect to Xander Bogaerts and get them to take Xander's contract, then what?
Then
your bottom line is healthier. For your organization.
Congratulations. How
does that make your team better, though? It doesn't. It actually makes it worse in two ways. You gave up a prospect, and even though Xander's overpaid, you gave up Xander.
He's
a better player than a lot of other guys in baseball.
You probably ate a buttload of money to do it as well.
Then you're going
to
go out and sign someone who's now more expensive than Xander, because players just keep getting more expensive. Why do you want to do that?
I can't cheer for balance sheets. It's not in me to cheer for. I don't cheer for Odyssey's balance sheet. I don't cheer for the Padres' balance sheet. I don't go into Michael's office and go, yeah, let's renegotiate a contract. How much money can I save you next year? No, I walk into his office and go, I want to be paid, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. That's how it works. I don't care what Odyssey's bottom line is. I care about my bottom line, right? That's it.
We want to work here. I don't know how long you want to work here, but I'd be
5 more years.
I'd be happy here for another 20 years. Make as much money as we can, and the day we walk out of the door, this place goes bankrupt.
Right. It's just not going to affect me. Like, it just, I don't understand this. Man, we're so, like, that must be the life of a Rays fan. They're just like, woo! We won 87 games. We only spent $14 to do it. What if you spent $80? You could have won 97 games. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. It never will.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We will get back to this. I do want to get to Don't Do This. Woods has got some things on his mind.
Oh, it was hot yesterday. And it's about this business of ours. It really rubs me the wrong way sometimes.
Get to that coming up next after a check of traffic here with Kelly on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
We'll get back to the Blake Snell to the Dodgers talk in a little bit. But first, Don't Do This, and I will kick off our segment this morning with an update on a fairly large DDT story we brought you back in September. Remember when Miami Dolphins star wide receiver Tyreek Hill was pulled over on his way to the game at Hard Rock Stadium by Miami-Dade Police? Video of him being pulled out of his car for allegedly speeding, and he was cited for careless driving and failure to wear a seatbelt. Incident went viral. Obviously, you know, Tyreek Hill had his side of the story. The officers were placed on, I believe, administrative duties while an investigation was commenced. I don't know if they've ever really released any results of that investigation. In fact, they haven't. But yesterday was the day that Hill was scheduled to appear in court on those traffic charges. But the officers did not show, which means case dismissed.
Never happened to me.
I was wondering, do we have any, I know we have officers in our Tier 1 audience, CHP officers. When you write a ticket for someone, speeding.
I thought it was an old wives' tale that you had to show up.
So do you actually, if like you don't show up to court that day, how do you know? Are you not? Like, how do you know whether you're supposed to go out and patrol the streets or I have to go to court today because someone's actually going? Because a lot of people obviously just do traffic school or pay the fine. Yeah. And, you know, that's pleading guilty, essentially. And then the officers don't go to court. But if you plead not guilty, you have to show up in court that day. And if the officer doesn't show up, if they're sick,
case dismissed,
they had to do something else, then all of a sudden you just get off scot-free and it's like it never happened. Is that really how it works?
I have heard that. I mean, it's obviously something I've heard for many, many years. Have you ever fought a ticket?
I haven't gotten a ticket in a long time, but how do you fight a ticket? If you say, the officer goes, yeah, I clocked you going 82 in a 65 zone.
Wasn't me.
And you go and goes, I say I wasn't. It's like, well, it's your word against my word. I feel like the judge and the jury, I don't know if there's a jury, I don't think in traffic court there's juries, but assume the judge usually sides with the officer in those cases.
This case, obviously, is a little bit different. Adam says in the chat, it's not. An officer for my ticket about 6 years ago didn't show and it was tossed. I think then...
How do you know if the officer is going to show or not?
You don't.
You don't.
You fight it, and if he does show up, you end up paying the fine anyway. I just pay the fine to get rid of it, go to traffic school, and call it a day. That's what I do. All right, this next one is...
Well, anyway, yeah, I guess Tyreek Hill is
so free.
free to go. His attorneys released a statement. They said, as anticipated, the traffic citations against Tyreek Hill were dismissed. Police officers should not issue citations unless they're willing to testify in court. Not only did he get off, but he then took the officers to task and saying, hey, their absence from court evidences their knowledge of wrongdoing. These officers should be disciplined for their failure to appear. I would, like, praise them. I'd go, thank you for not showing up to my case. He wants them disciplined for not showing up and, you know, testifying on their own behalf.
Yeah, yeah, so, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so this one is it's kind of a combo. It starts out as a doo-doo, this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
But it quickly devolved, thanks to a shock jock friend of Adam Klug's, Sean Marash, who is a producer in New York. Let me play you the really touching, beautiful audio, in my opinion, of Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Brandon Graham. Goes in for a live in-person interview with the morning show there at the radio station WIP in Philly. And he sits down with the hosts, and he has a season-ending injury. Philly is a Super Bowl contender, and he's going to miss it. And listen to how vulnerable and honest Brandon Graham is.
Well, you know what? Hold on. I'm trying to keep it in. And I know I needed it, but boy, I just love what we've been building. And I just don't want to, I know I ain't letting nobody down as far as, you know, getting hurt and stuff, because I know I'm going to bring that energy.
Brandon, let me jump in for 1 second. You're not letting anybody down. You're not letting the city down, your teammates.
I know. I'm just
nobody.
Saying, like, being, I'm
don't
being,
even
I'm not
let
being
it cross on, your mind.
I got you. Because I promise you, I'm just more hurt of just on how we've been coming every week, trying to defy, you know, the odds and being with it. But being with them, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be with them. I'm still with them. You know what I'm saying? I know that. But, yeah, man, I just needed this right here. I needed to get this out. It's been a while since I cried, man.
Oh, man, it touches your soul, right? That's a vulnerable human being that has played a long time in the NFL. He's going to miss out on his seasons.
The only thing we want as fans is for the athletes to care as much or more than we do, right?
How do you look at that?
That's a sign that this guy cares about more than just money and more than just, you know, being a pro athlete. He actually cares. That's a great thing.
And I get it, man. Rivalries are real. But I'll tell you, man, I'm watching. I hated that Grand Slam by Freddie Freeman so much in the World Series. But when he goes to the podium and he's talking about his old man, I was a wreck, sobbing wreck, watching that, you know, because, well, I've got a father and I've got a son, and you're a human being. And so Sean Marash, we all remember Marash. What do they call him? They call him Mraz.
That's what they used to call him.
Remember
just
him?
It sounded like Marash.
Remember him ripping Padres fans and Aztec fans for going to the Padres game instead of watching the Aztecs game, even though they showed the Aztecs game at the Padres game. The timing of it was perfect. The game ended. The Padres game started. He would, like, lit up the entire city of San Diego. And so he tweets, after this amazing video comes out, he says, what a loser. Get a grip. Heal up and suck it up. And I just quote tweeted, I said, I hate this effing business so much sometimes. That type of, like, shock jock bit makes me nuts.
I get people trying to create, you know, engagement, content, whatever. But the people who agree with that statement,
yeah.
Do you want those people to be your fans,
no,
really? Those are the people that you're hoping to appeal to?
I can't do it, man.
I don't get it.
I can't do it.
I got one more, actually, for you.
Okay.
Here. Forgot to bring this up. I don't know. I guess this is a doo-doo this. Did you see the story of Paul Bissonnette?
Oh, my God. Did I ever? Holy smokes. I listened to some of the audio. Did you hear did you listen to some of the podcasts?
I did not hear any of the audio.
So Paul Bissonnette was an NHL.
He's a former Arizona Coyotes player, podcaster, now an NHL analyst, and lives in Scottsdale, has a favorite restaurant that he goes to often in
Houston's.
The area. Houston's. Yeah, Houston's a pretty good spot. Chain restaurant,
yeah.
Pretty good. And he said while he was there, there were six adult guys, like, you know, golfers on a golf trip or whatever, and then getting a little rowdy and out of hand,
yeah.
and drunk, and he decided, essentially, that he was going to make sure that didn't happen again, and ended up taking them on out in the parking lot, 1-on-6.
Well, so here's exactly
so what do you
happened.
You what do you have on this?
So yeah. So he's sitting there. He says he goes to Houston 3 or 4 times a week, and it's his favorite place. Goes in, has a meal. And he usually sits in the bar area. Bar area was packed. There was a big tournament in town, and all these lunatics came in for a golf trip. And there's 6 guys in the bar, and they're hammered. And they're being abusive to the staff.
Oh, yeah. The manager asked him to leave.
Asked him to leave. Guys are cut off. No more booze, okay? And one of them gets in the manager's face. Well, Bissonette sees this. He's like, no, that's not going to fly. So walks up, says, sir, puts his hand on him, says, sir, if you continue with this course of action, we're going to have a problem. Next thing you know, punch from behind. It goes out into the parking lot. I loved his quote. He said, I took some, but I gave some. And I went, man, there's not a scratch on him, by the way. And not a scratch.
I saw the mug shots of the 6 guys.
They got tuned up.
They had some scratches.
They got tuned up real, real good. And it's not a fair 6-on-1 former NHL enforcer. It's still not a fair fight. Like, you need 10 more guys.
It's good training. It's good training to be an NHL enforcer have to take on a crowd of guys at Houston.
Holy smokes, dude. And these guys, I mean, now, and there's the mugshots of these guys. And, of course, Bissonette works for Barstool. So now Barstool is going to make it their entire personality for the next week to ruin these dudes' entire lives. You know, these guys are toast. I mean, they're toast.
You know who loves Houston's? Tony Gwynn Jr. Went there for his birthday when they were up in Pasadena.
Is that right?
It was during the playoffs, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to Houston's for my birthday. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
I'm a big fan, too. They had one in Dallas. We used to go there for lunch all the time. Delicious. But good for him, man, like sticking up for the staff. If you're rude and abusive to the staff of a restaurant, you know, doesn't matter. The golf and alcohol combo sometimes is not the best.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll talk more about Blake Snell coming up. I do want to discuss the Aztecs. A big win yesterday over Creighton in the opening game of the Players Era Festival in Las Vegas.
And how about those Huskies, too?
How about those Huskies as well? We will talk about it all when we come back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I know college basketball has not generally been your thing until March Madness rolls around.
Well, I'm in now.
But I will say this week, last couple of days, they call it Feast Week, at least on ESPN, with all the non-conference tournaments, the multi-team events, and far-flung locations from the Bahamas all the way to Maui. There's been some really good basketball this week. I mean,
who won the Duke game last night? I was watching and I fell asleep.
Duke did not win. Kansas won.
Wow.
Even though they lost, Hunter Dickinson was ejected for a flagrant 2 foul for kicking
one of the
Duke players in the face.
Bro.
And when you say kick a guy in the face, I mean, he didn't
roundhouse him. Yeah.
Yeah, like an MMA fight. They were both on the ground, head to toe, you know, one's head on the other side, and he kind of kicked and landed one on the face. You'll probably never know what the intent was on the kick, but he definitely kicked him in the face, and they kicked him out of the game for it.
Bro, it looked pretty intentional. I'll say that right now.
But that game was fantastic. The Alabama-Houston game was fantastic, and the Players Era Festival that San Diego State is playing in, they might play one of those teams coming up in the championship game on Saturday if they can get past Oregon in the second game of the tournament. And I bring that up. Well, I want to talk about San Diego State's win over Creighton. We've got a bit of a pre-holiday schedule here today on 97.3 The Fan. After our program, Craig Elston and Braden will be in. I believe Annie is still under the weather. She wanted to come in yesterday, but Adam did the old, if you still got some sniffles, don't come in and get everyone sick. So I think they're just going to have...
It's weird. He never says that to me.
Annie stay out until Monday.
Hey, can
and then
make it?
Gwynn and Chris are off today. Chris is in Cancun with the Lady Aztecs. They have their multi-team tournament.
What a gig.
Nice gig if you can get it. Go call some women's college basketball in Cancun. So you may or may not be listening to the replay of the Ben and Woods program right now. The only problem is we're about to talk about the Aztecs' win over Creighton.
Oh, no.
If it's the afternoon show, their game against Oregon will already be over.
What's that game?
That's at 1 this afternoon.
Oh, perfect day setting up.
Now, I have to go do television, but Adam would probably love it. Can you come back just for the one segment this afternoon to update our conversation on San Diego State basketball?
Absolutely not. 0% chance. 0%.
So we're going to check traffic. When we come back, it'll either be Ben and Woods talking live about a win over Creighton or just Woods returning.
It will not be. I'll tell you right now, it will not. You will not hear me.
Talk about
you will not hear me.
Oregon.
Nope.
Depending on what time it is right now on 97.3 The Fan. So the Aztecs took the court yesterday for the first time since their loss to Gonzaga. Not a bad loss to the number three team in the country by any stretch of the imagination, but just really still didn't have an idea of what this Aztecs team was capable of yet. And I do believe that yesterday we saw a bit more of the ceiling potential for San Diego State as they outperformed number 21 Creighton in pretty much every facet of that game yesterday, pulling away in the second half for a 71-53 win. Now, I understand Creighton was missing one of their better players, maybe their best player, Stephen Ashworth, their starting point guard, veteran senior, who, you know, runs the floor for them and is really good. But no one mentioned the fact that the Aztecs also are missing one of their best players, the guy who runs the floor for them, their most veteran player in Reese Waters, who hasn't even taken the floor yet for San Diego State this season. So to me, that just offsets. And you got SDSU and Creighton's rest of the teams going up against each other. And that comparison went heavily towards San Diego State. They did an outstanding job against Ryan Kalkbrenner, the 7-1 center.
Phenomenal.
For Creighton. Held him to just 2 points in the first half by doing the old front him and back him.
They did.
They could not either get the ball to him or get him in the position they wanted him to get to. It was a masterful job by a defensive master in Brian Dutcher and his team.
He's a guy that when he's on the floor, you looked at Kalkbrenner and you go, okay, yeah, he's got a lot of size and he looks really quick and good with the ball. You could see Ben about, I don't know, 6 minutes in, visible frustration. They tried and tried. Now,
he had an amygdala attack.
He did.
Did you see it?
Yes,
I saw the 100%. Amygdala attack that Jim Brogan told us about yesterday. When you hang your head and you see you got to someone, he said, he told us yesterday, that is a lingering effect, like 10, 15 minutes or so. You're not going to be at your best when you let another team get to you like the Aztecs got to Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Now, offensively, he didn't do anything, really. 12 points, I think, total. 11, didn't score.
A little better second half.
A little better second half. But in the first half, defensively, though, is where you see what a force he can be under there. He swatted a bunch of shots early.
He's long. He's got length. But the Aztecs blocked 9 shots.
Dude, Magoon with some huge, huge blocks yesterday. What a game. What a game. It was never really, you didn't feel like, you didn't sweat that game very much.
Creighton's a good offensive team. They put up a lot of points, and maybe not as good as Gonzaga, but really good. Always are really good. You held them to 53 points. And at some point, you could tell Creighton was just flustered by San Diego State.
They look sleepy, man.
But that's a really good performance that I think is going to look better as the season goes on.
Yep.
Doug McDermott, their coach, he's going to get those guys playing well. So by the end of the season, that's going to look like it's a good win now. It's going to look like a really good win for the Aztecs. But what I was really impressed by, and what we haven't always seen, in fact, rarely do see from San Diego State, didn't even see it last year, somewhat with the Final Four team, but you don't know where the scoring is coming from. And that's a good thing. Sometimes you don't know where the scoring is coming from at San Diego State because it's not coming from anybody.
Yeah.
Feels like all the guys out on the floor can score.
Yep.
And I don't remember the last time you could say that about a San Diego State team. BJ Davis had a career-high 18 points. Miles Byrd, when he got hot, 16. He can shoot the three. Yep. He can drive to the hoop. You didn't hear much from Nick Boyd in the game yesterday. I almost forgot about him. I realized, he can score when he wants to as well. Magoon hit, a couple of shots. I think offensively he's still got some development to do. But the Aztecs have players on the floor who can score the basketball. Jared Coleman-Jones hit like a big three. Everybody on that floor is dangerous with the basketball, and that is very difficult for opposing teams to handle and very exciting if you're a San Diego State fan.
And everybody on that team plays intense defense, and they don't give up on plays.
It's a requirement.
And they chase loose balls, and they go after balls that are going out of bounds. I mean, they expended a lot of energy yesterday, that's their brand of basketball, man. And again, they are an inspiring team to watch, and I hope that they can handle business today. That would be a huge win.
Watching the game on TBS, I was very impressed by Candace Parker.
Yeah, she was great.
The analyst for the game. I think she is a... She is going to be a star in broadcasting.
Did she do back-to-back games?
Yeah, she did the two morning games, and they had a different crew for the afternoon and evening sessions. I would imagine she'd be on the game again today because it's another early start. 1 o'clock this time. I think that moves over from TBS to TNT and Max today. But I thought she was outstanding as a broadcaster and one of the real rising stars in the business. I thought she was terrific. I also enjoyed Frank Caliendo's
his little sideline appearance.
Now, he's a Creighton fan, apparently. I did not know that. And they had the sideline reporter go over and do an extended interview, and he started doing his Charles Barkley talking to Shaq impressions. And how he keeps it in his head, like whose voice he's doing at any given moment.
It's almost when she starts throwing names out, he's like, oh, yeah, Charles Barkley. I'm like, oh, yeah. It makes me nervous because I'm afraid he's going to
mess up.
Butcher one.
It was very impromptu, but you know, he was very talented. And I did enjoy that part of the broadcast as well. So today, they'll take on Oregon. The Ducks beat 20th-ranked Texas A&M 80-70 in the second game. They're led by former Torrey Pines High School standout, Stanford transfer Brandon Angel, scored 16 points yesterday for Oregon. But this is definitely another winnable game for San Diego State, and a big one because the way this tournament is formatted. So the top four teams left. Every team is already supposed to get $1 million for their NIL fund.
Everybody gets a million.
But then the top four teams at the event get to split another million, apparently. I don't know if it's like half of that goes to the winner. And then
it's $250 to the runner-up. I think I just saw this.
Did you see? Okay, so anyway, there's more money on the line. And if the Aztecs win today, they'll be guaranteed a big chunk of that NIL money in the Saturday's championship game, which could come against Alabama, who's the ninth-ranked team in the country. The team the Aztecs beat in the NCAA tournament as the number one seed a couple of years ago. Could get that rematch on Saturday, which would be very exciting. But you do have to get past Oregon, which is obviously a good Big Ten team, and it would be another quality win for San Diego State's resume if they can get that done today. I saw a lot of people saying, oh, Oregon looks like they could be a upper quadrant Big Ten team. So this is another really good resume-building opportunity for San Diego State this afternoon.
Aztecs getting 3.5 points again. They got 4 yesterday. Took that. Literally the easiest money I've made betting all season. That was never in question. I'm going to roll with them again.
Meanwhile, other good games, including a consolation game at the Maui Invitational that was on early yesterday, with UConn trying to bounce back from that loss to Memphis and getting themselves in another dogfight, this time against Colorado. And so, I mean, you couldn't have even scripted this. It comes down to the end, and UConn is up by 1. And Colorado's got the basketball. Now, you remember we talked about it in Don't Do This yesterday when Danny Hurley lost his mind when his player got called for an over-the-back rebound in overtime in a tie game. He said, my guy's taller, he's going straight up. Yeah, he's behind the guy, but he didn't do anything wrong. That shouldn't be a call. He took the officials to task. I mean, he sounded like a petulant crybaby.
Yeah.
So almost the exact same situation, except this time the Colorado player was the one behind the UConn player who went up for the rebound on a 3-point attempt. And this time they didn't call the over the back on what looked like, it almost looked like a replay with different kids, like staging the same rebound. And it didn't go Dan Hurley's way again. Of course, he was upset about it. Colorado got the basketball back, ended up banking in the winning shot to beat UConn for the second straight day they lose.
Crazy.
73-72.
Crazy. I mean, who would have thought that they would blow back-to-back games like that, man? So
now,
he another one of those instances where the guy had to hold him back, and just not a good look for him.
Now, remember, though, UConn is they're a March team. They've always lost games in the regular season. They barely made the NCAA tournament the year that, they beat the Aztecs in Orange County, the Kemba Walker. That team barely even made the tournament. They had to win the conference tournament just to get there. Last 2 years, teams weren't, they weren't one seeds, to win the NCAA championship.
They weren't a one seed last year?
I don't think they were. Were they?
They were.
Did they get to a one seed at the end?
I believe they did.
They always seem to finish stronger than they start. So I don't think, early season losses are that big of a deal for UConn, but it was surprising to see the number two team in the country lose back-to-back close games like they did. And then we talked a little bit about the Kansas-Duke game. That one is in Las Vegas. So I was watching that game, and it was sponsored by a company called Terry's Chocolate. So that's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of Terry's Chocolate.
Nope.
They're sponsored by the Terry's Chocolate Vegas Showdown.
Okay.
And I Google, all right, you got me. What's Terry's Chocolate? And I go and look and I go, oh, I think I have seen this before. They're the company that makes the chocolate oranges, where you like take orange slices, but chocolate, and they combine the flavors of chocolate and orange together in one of what I think is the most unholy combinations imaginable. Chocolate and orange is an abomination that should never have taken place. And I thought there's a whole company that's just devoted to chocolate oranges.
Now, okay. So are they shaped like an orange?
They are shaped like an orange.
And they are orange flavored.
And they are orange flavored, but made out of chocolate.
You're absolutely right. I can't think of a word. If I have a sweet tooth, and nobody has a sweet tooth like me, I mean nobody. When I get a hankering for something sweet, Benny, I would pass on that like you wouldn't believe.
I remember when, you know, we get the box of See's candies, and you'd accidentally grab one and you'd take it, and it was the chocolate orange one. I would literally get out of the trash because it just is the worst.
It's a terrible combo.
The worst combination. And I thought, am I crazy here?
I'm with you.
So I threw out the poll last night. I said, do you like the combination of chocolate and orange? And all I can surmise is that 43% of you are not the same species of person that I am. Because the yeses ran 43%.
It's way too much.
Against 57% no.
It should be 6%.
I guess if there's a whole company called Terry's Chocolate devoted to chocolate oranges, there must be enough of you out there to keep them in business and sponsoring a college basketball tournament. I don't understand. I don't really like chocolate and fruit at all.
I was just going to say, let's go through the chocolate
fruit combos.
I don't like pineapple covered in chocolate. Ooh, no. It's hideous. No. I really don't like strawberries covered in chocolate. I mean, what's you don't have chocolate covered grapes?
Like a flourless chocolate cake with a raspberry sauce, I can do.
Even that, I'm still kind of over it. Fruit and chocolate don't mix, in my opinion.
To me, you either have a chocolate dessert or a fruit dessert.
Fruit desserts, delicious.
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 Chocolate fruit desserts?
Repugnant.
Oh.
It's absolutely repugnant.
We're rarely on the same page, especially as it pertains. Frank, can you chime in on the chocolate fruit combination?
Not a fan.
There you go.
No, yeah. Drew says orange cranberry relish. Yeah, that's orange cranberry. It's not orange cranberry drizzled in Hershey syrup.
It's fine.
Put some Hershey
wrong with oranges.
Next time you make
there's nothing wrong with fruit.
Next time you make a sundae, put sherbet in there along with some Hershey syrup. Let's see how it goes.
Just don't put chocolate in it.
It's gross.
Oh,
gross.
We'll come back. More Blake Snell talk. Second half of Ben and Woods. The Seals coming in. All ahead here on 97.3 The Fan.